This is Serenade Radio with the best in easy listening. Now here's Mark Stein with Stein's Song of the Week.
You know, you can learn a lot of history from popular song. For example,
as Dorothy Parker once said to her boyfriend, fare thee well. As Columbus announced when he knew he was bounced, it was swell, Isabel, swell. As Abelard said to Eloise, don't forget to drop a line to me, please. As Juliet cried in her Romeo's ear, Romeo, why not face the fact, my dear? It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things.
A trip to the moon on gossamer wings and a lot of lightly worn historico-literary allusion from Cole Porter. Dorothy Parker is the once famous Algonquin Round Table wit, whose relationships tended to the fleeting. Abelard and Eloise are the illicit lovers of 12th century France. Romeo and Juliet, well, that's the bard. But our subject today is the 15th century explorer who allegedly announced when he knew he was bounced. It was Swell Isabel Swell. Of all the gazillions of guys who have been dumped across the millennia, few have ever responded with such an insouciant line of marvellous, if somewhat anachronistic and possibly apocryphal, cool. It was Swell Isabel Swell. The bouncer is Isabella, Queen of Spain, and the bounced is Christopher Columbus, whose expedition to the New World Her Majesty and King Ferdinand financed. Among the many unreleased albums in my bottom drawer is Mark Stein Sings the Christopher Columbus Songbook. Matter of fact, we've probably got enough for a double CD.
Mr. Christopher Columbus sailed the sea without a compass. When his men began a rumpus, up spoke Mr. Fur Columbus.
Mr. Christopher Columbus sailed the sea without a compass when his men kicked up a rumpus. It takes guts to rhyme Columbus, and the guy who did it was Andy Razaf, who was born a Malagasy prince, nephew of Queen Ranavalona III of Madagascar. So Mr. Razaf would have been nicely ensconced in the Ferdinand and Isabella side of the story had the French not invaded Madagascar and toppled the monarchy. So instead, he grew up poor in Washington and became a songwriter. By way of contrast, here's Cy Coleman and Carolyn Lee as sung by Blossom Dearie.
I have a feeling that beneath a little halo on your noble head, there lies a thought or two the devil might be interested to know. You're like the finish of a novel that I'll finally have to take to bed. You fascinate me so. I feel like Christopher Columbus when I'm near enough to contemplate the sweet geography descending from your eyebrow to your toe. The possibilities are more than I can possibly enumerate. That's why you fascinate me so.
I feel like Christopher Columbus when I'm near enough to contemplate the sweet geography descending from your eyebrow to your toe. You're like the finish of a novel that I'll finally have to take to bed. I say, steady on, woman, as Andy Marriott would respond. That's Carolyn Lee, but no one wrote more Christopher Columbian songs than Ira Gershwin. Here he is with his brother George in the 1920s. Hang on for the Columbus bit.
I could cry salty tears. Where have I been all these years? Little while, tell me now, how long has this been going on? There were chills up my spine and some thrills I can't define. Listen, sweet, I repeat, how long has this been going on? Melt into heaven, I'm hurled. I know how Columbus felt, finding another world.
That's Julie London. Would you rather be at sea for months on end and find America, or find Julie London? It's a tough call. Hurled World is quite an unusual rhyme, but it feels very natural here. Hurled captures perfectly the idea of being suddenly catapulted into love. Of course, Columbus wasn't exactly hurled from Italy to the New World. It took a little longer, so long that the crew began to wonder if there's anything out there. Here's Ira Gershwin again, 20 years after that last song. Ira Gershwin singing with Kurt Vile at the piano.
You're believing that the world is round is a belief that we believe on sound. Our feet are on the ground, and so far we have found the world is flat. Like that, like that, like that, like that.
And in between those two Ira Gershwin songs came the most famous Christopher Columbus lyric of all.
Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. He, he. You think the laugh's on me? They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me wanting you. Said I was reaching for the moon. But all you came through. Now they'll have to change their tune. They all said we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now?
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. That isn't actually true. By the time Columbus loaded up the ship, most people understood the world was round. They just weren't clear on where and how it connected up. Ira Gershwin got the idea from those self-improvement advertisements of the 1920s. They all laughed when I sat down to play the piano. While visiting Paris, he'd scribbled a postcard to the drama critic Gilbert Gabriel from a famous restaurant. They all laughed at the Tour d'Argent last night when I said I would order in French. The phrase, as Ira put it, hibernated and estivated in the back of my mind for a dozen years until the right climate and tune popped it out as a title.
The odds were 100 to 1 against me. The world thought the heights were too high to climb. But people from Missouri never incensed me. Oh, I wasn't a bit concerned, for from history I had learned how many, many times the worm had
turn. They all laughed at Rockefeller Center, now they're fighting to get in. They all laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin. They all laughed at Fulton and his steamboat, Hershey and his chocolate bar. Ford and his Lizzie kept the laughers busy. That's how people are. They laughed at me wanting you, said it would be hello, goodbye. But oh, you came through, now they're eating humble pie. They all said we'd never get together, darling, let's take a bow. For ho, 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 who's got the last laugh? And what a last laugh. Who's got the last laugh now?
That's one of many terrific rhythm numbers from a composer who excelled at them. Sometimes when George Gershwin is really jumping, it's all his brother Ira can do to hang on to the tune at all. Many Gershwin songs seem, in the words of the author Wilfred Sheed, like moving targets for Ira to throw lyrics at if he could. I got rhythm, I got music, I got my man, time's up. But in They All Laughed, the tune is matched to a lyrical premise worthy of it, right down to the repeated notes under the ho-ho-ho of the penultimate line. It's what they call a catalogue song, a laundry list, an accumulation of examples that all go to prove a particular point. In this case, Ira runs through a veritable semester's worth of history lessons.
They all laughed at Rockefeller Center, now they're fighting to get in. They all laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin. They all laughed at Fulton and his steamboat, Hershey and his chocolate bar. Ford and his Lizzie kept the laughers busy. That's how people are.
They all laughed at Rockefeller Center, constructed in the heart of Manhattan by John D. Rockefeller Jr. in the early 1930s. They all laughed at Eli Whitney's engine for the processing of cotton, invented in 1793. They all laughed at Robert Fulton and the world's first commercially successful steamboat, which in 1807 travelled up the Hudson River from New York to Albany and back 300 miles in 62 hours. They all laughed at Hershey and his chocolate bar, and they were right to do so. Stick with Cadbury's, that's my advice, or Fry's, if you can find it. Ford and his Lizzie, that would be Henry Ford's Model T of 1908, his Tin Lizzie, the first affordable automobile. The playwright George S. Kaufman was out in Hollywood while the Gershwins were working on Shall We Dance, and round the piano one day, the brothers chose to give him a sneak preview. Kaufman sat there through Christopher Columbus, Edison recording sound, Wilbur and his brother being scorned for suggesting Man Could Fly. But after the lines, they told Marconi Wallace was a phony, he interrupted and said, "Don't tell me this is going to be a love song." He was famously antipathetic to the genre, assuring him that it was indeed a profession of amorous affection. The brothers pressed on and got to the release. They laughed at me wanting you. At which point Kaufman, as Ira described it, shook his head resignedly and sighed, "Oh well."
They laughed at me wanting you, said it would be hello, goodbye. But oh, you came through, now they're eating humble pie. They all said we'd never get together, darling, let's take a bow. For ho, 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 who's got the last laugh? He, 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 let's at the best laugh. Ha, 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 who's got the last laugh?
Did you catch that penultimate line? No disgrace if you did, and I didn't for the first quarter century, 3 decades or so. He, let's at the past laugh. And that clunky inverted word order, sounding like a bad operetta translation, awkwardly affixed to the most effervescent all-American tune, is a small blemish on an otherwise perfect jewel of a song. When Ella teamed up with Louis Armstrong, he seemed stunned to find it on the sheet music.
Oh, ho, 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 who's got the last laugh?
Hee, hee, let's best laugh? Oh, oh, oh. Who's got the last laugh now?
They All Laugh belongs to the last flourish of the Gershwin Brothers partnership, the movie songs they wrote after Porgy and Bess failed on Broadway in 1935, when George was anxious to demonstrate that he hadn't gone all hoity-toity and still knew how to crank out popular songs. Or as he put it in a telegram to the film studio, RKO, "Incidentally, rumours about highbrow music ridiculous stop, am out to write hits." And he did. The Gershwin score for the Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers film Shall We Dance is indisputably one of his finest. They can't take that away from me. Beginner's luck. You say either, I say either. Let's call the whole thing off. Plus, Ira Gershwin's tip of the hat to Christopher Columbus. Do you really want to know the plot for which this glorious Gershwin score was written? All the Fred and Ginger plots are idiotic, of course. But this one isn't giddy, frothy musical comedy idiocy, but a lead-weighted clunker that seems to grind down Astaire and Rogers and hobble their usual chemistry. Fred plays a Russian ballet star who is in reality an American. This obliges him to spend much of the film wooing Miss Rogers in a pseudo-Slav accent. What? A wonderful concept. Ginger plays an all-American tap dancer who dislikes ballet and so dislikes Fred, and as a running joke, that one barely gets on its toes. At some point in the film, following gossip that the protagonists are secretly married and expecting a baby, and then Ginger's subsequent retirement from show business to marry a chinless wonder from Park Avenue, and a few more complications on top of all that, the two of them find themselves inveigled before the band at a Manhattan nightclub and obliged to perform. And so Ginger sings.
The odds were 100 to 1 against me. The world thought the heights were too high to climb. But people from Missouri never incensed me. Oh, I wasn't a bit concerned, for from history I had learned how many, many times the world had turned. They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me wanting you, said I was reaching for the moon. But oh, you came through. Now they'll have to change their tune. They all said we never would be happy. They laughed at us and how. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now?
As George S. Kaufman eventually figured out, They All Laughed is an example of what Ira Gershwin called the left field or circuitous approach to the subject preponderant in songdom, i.e. boy meets girl. Required to approach said subject less circuitously, the lyricist often fell back on the lamest of lame clichés. There have, wrote Wilfred Sheed, seldom been dumber words to anything than those of the young Ira Gershwin's Lady Be Good and The Man I Love.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay.
We'll build a little home just made for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? How could anyone do that to that music? Who would you? The tune is profound, the words are trite. But Ira, unlike Cole Porter, eschewed passion, no matter what George had going on in the music. Not until his last great lyric, The Man That Got Away, written with Harold Arlen in 1954, did Ira really tackle the subject preponderant head on and with real feeling. A lot of Gershwin lyrics are very pedestrian, at least when compared to their tunes. In the fullness of time's inevitable winnowing of the repertoire, it seems likely that more than a few Gershwin songs will fall by the wayside, simply because, compared to Hart's lyrics for Rogers or Cole Porter's for his own melodies, Ira too often appended childish words to George's grown-up music. But let's not carp. With the right lyrical premise, the author could rise to the occasion, and this song's tremendous pile-up of Columbus, Edison, the Wright brothers, Marconi, Rockefeller, Whitney, Fulton, Hershey, and Ford is quintessential Ira Gershwin, a kind of literate goofiness in service of, quote, the subject preponderant. It's not easy for contemporary vocalists to pull off, because to the modern sensibility, it seems odd to be conducting a romance accompanied by Henry Ford and Thomas Edison. The way to do it is to relax, kick loose, and if necessary, do what Buddy Greco liked to do with catalogue songs, annotate them.
The odds were 100-1 against me. The world thought the heights were too high to climb, but people from Missouri never incensed me. Oh, I wasn't a bit concerned, for the history I had learned, how many, many times the worm had turned. They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi, your wireless is a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me, one in you, said I was reaching for the moon. But oh, you came through. Now they'll have to change their tune, la-di-yada. They all said we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now? They all laughed at Rockefeller Center. Now they're fighting to get in. Open the door, it's. They all laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin. But nobody laughed when they found they couldn't drink it. They all laughed at Fulton and his steamboat, Hershey and his chocolate bar with nuts. Ford and his Lizzie kept the laughers busy nuts. That's how people are. They laughed at me, one of you, said it would be hello, goodbye. But oh, you came through. Now they're eating pizza pie with anchovies. They all said we'd never get together. Baby, let's take a bow. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh? Ha, ha, ha. I've got the last laugh. Hearty, har, har. Who's got the last laugh now?
Now they're eating pizza pie with anchovies. Well, that's what happens when a song floats free of its creators. Musically, you can do it as a ballad or a bossa nova, and lyrically, you can faithfully render the words with the precision you'd bring to an opera libretto or a Shakespeare text, or you can just yell nuts in the fills between the lines, as Buddy Greco does. And Ira Gershwin, while generally antipathetic to such effusions, had the consolation of his royalty statements. For some singers, though, it's much harder for the song to wiggle free of its authors, because they and the birth of the number are part of your domestic life. You happen to be sitting in the room where the song was written, and the lyricist is living next door.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me, wanting you, said I was reaching for the moon. But oh, you came through. Now they'll have to change their tune. They all said we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now?
I don't need to tell you, that's the voice of Rosemary Clooney. Rosie lived at 1019 North Roxbury Drive in Hollywood. Ira Gershwin and his wife Lee lived next door at 1021 North Roxbury Drive. As a matter of fact, before Miss Clooney, 1019 North Roxbury was George Gershwin's house. The brothers were so close, they decided they'd purchase adjoining properties. Rosie had her piano in exactly the same place where George had his, and as she told me long ago, that's the spot in the room where George and Ira wrote the very song you're hearing now. They wrote every song for Shall We Dance in the living room at 1019. Russ Columbo, who in the early 30s was Bing Crosby's only rival as a blockbuster crooner, was shot dead in the den of that house. And a quarter century later, whenever Bing came over to rehearse his radio duets with Rosie, he would never set foot in that den. I think around the time I was there, her nephew George Clooney was living in the house because his first job in Hollywood was as Rosie's dog's body. Old Hollywood. All gone. 1021 is demolished, 1019 is demolished. 1023 is still there. That was Spencer Tracy's house. It's that kind of neighborhood. Or was. Next but one to Rosie is still there too. That used to be Betty Grable and Harry James's house. It wound up with Posh Spice and David Beckham. They all laughed when Posh Spice said she'd be living in Betty Grable's house. But who's got the last laugh now?
They all laughed at Rockefeller Center. Now they're fighting to get in. They all laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin. They all laughed at Fulton and his steamboat, Hershey and his chocolate bar. Ford and his Lizzie kept the laughers busy. That's how people are. They laughed at me wanting you. Said it would be hello, goodbye. But oh, you came through. Now they're eating humble pie. They all said we'd never get together. Baby, let's take a bow. For ho, 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 who's got the last laugh, hee, hee, hee. Let's at the fast laugh, ha, ha, ha. Who's got the last laugh now?
A song from me to you. Rosemary Clooney sings music by George Gershwin, words by Ira Gershwin. Hee, hee, hee. Let's at the past laugh. And all Rosie had to do was stroll next door and ask Ira if he wouldn't mind cleaning that up a little. They all laughed at Christopher Columbus, Edison, the Wright brothers, Rockefeller, but nobody laughed at George Gershwin, not by 1937. There was a tennis court at North Roxbury, and one day George, Ira, Oscar Levant, the very serious composer Arnold Schoenberg, were all out there playing a match, and George casually mentioned that he'd like to write a string quartet, quote, but it will be something simple like Mozart. If ever there were a time for everyone to laugh, a guy telling you he's going to write a simple quartet like Mozart would be it. But nobody laughed, because George Gershwin, who started out as a Tin Pan Alley song plugger, had pulled off every challenge he'd set himself. Not this time. There would be no string quartet. When Shall We Dance opened on May 7th, 1937, George Gershwin had no idea he was about to begin the last 2 months of his life. He died on July 11th, age 38. Ho, ho, ho. Who's got the last laugh now?
Stein's Song of the Week was presented by Mark Stein and produced especially for Serenade Radio by Brian Savin. There's a second chance to hear that programme at 9 o'clock on Thursday evening.